The Jump, written by Doug Johnstone and read by Caroline Guthrie.
In memory of Gail Eddington and Mark Smith. A salute at the threshold of the North Sea of my mind, and a nod to the boredom that drove me here to face the tide. And I swim. Swim until you can't see land, frightened rabbit. Chapter 1. There were widows and orphans, but why wasn't there a word for a parent who lost a child? Because it was too awful to contemplate, too terrible to give a name. The thought buzzed in Ellie's brain, just as it had every day for the last few months, as she stood on the shore at the Binks, a rocky wart sticking out into the Firth of Forth. To her left was the road bridge, a concrete javelin suspended across the river from two giant supports. Beyond that, she could see the yellow cranes working on the new bridge foundations, emerging from the water like sleepy krakens. In the other direction, past the low harbour wall and the craigs, was the more famous rail bridge, the rusty red squeeze box of criss-crossed struts with the smudge of the BP tanker berth lurking behind. The road bridge loomed over her, as always. She and Ben should have moved away from South Queen's Ferry after it happened, made a clean break. But she was secretly glad they hadn't. She liked the constant reminder, the open sore that she couldn't help touching. Besides, she could never leave Logan behind. 30 yards back was the house she shared with Ben. Just Ben. It wasn't a home anymore, not without Logan. Grey stone terrace, two bedrooms, though they didn't need the second bedroom now. She hadn't been able to clear away Logan's stuff yet. Every day, at the shore, the light was different. Today it felt like the start of autumn, sharpness in the bluster of wind from upriver sweeping into the wider firth, high feathery clouds making the light somehow milky. She looked at the distance from the centre of the road bridge down to the choppy surface of the water. 45 metres. She knew that from a leaflet she picked up at the bridge visitor centre. Not so far, you might think, but it was easily enough to kill you if you jumped. It was the method of suicide with the highest success rate. 97% died. She wondered if Logan knew that before he jumped. If he'd Googled it, found the surest way. She'd checked his laptop browser history sometime after, when she briefly emerged from the blackness, but there was nothing unusual on there. Maybe he looked it up on his phone. It was still in his pocket when they recovered the body, but broken, obviously. She took a deep breath and closed her eyes. Counted to 6. Opened them again and looked at the bridge. Imagined his body falling through the air. She'd watched hundreds of videos of people committing suicide this way since Logan jumped. Amazing how many attempts had been caught on film. Mostly, it looked peaceful, somehow casual. Just a simple step off a ledge. A tiny splash of white spray on entry. But she knew the truth was different. You could reach 70 miles per hour. Hitting the water was like hitting a pavement, legs pulverised, spine collapsed, internal organs crushed, arms wrenched from sockets. She wished for that oblivion. Less often than she used to. But still, every hour, every day. Ben had identified Logan's body. She wondered over and over if that was a mistake. She couldn't really remember the events of that day. Just the call at her desk, the frantic drive across Edinburgh, then people she didn't know telling her things she couldn't understand. Her 15-year-old son was dead. He jumped from the bridge. A maintenance worker saw it, radioed into control. The Coast Guard called the safety boat from the bridge works at Port Edgar to go fish the body out. Not even worth scrambling an official sea search. He was only 10 minutes in the water. Not that time mattered, of course. He was dead on entry. Body smashed by the laws of physics.